We're not going to be long. Just a few little things before we pray for some people and have a more of a celebration. Just to say, first of all, if we could put the clock on just in case I overrun, that'd be lovely. Thank you. I'm not planning to at all. Just first of all to say, we love Soul Survivor Scotland. We love it here. It's just wonderful. And I love all the events. And I shouldn't say this, but I'm going to because we say it to each other. This is the smallest event by a fair bit, but it's actually our favourite. And I don't know if it's because it's the smallest, but you guys are amazing. You guys are amazing. The way you go for it, the way we've gone on this journey from night one to now is wonderful. And the way that we've just done it together. And I just want to encourage you on behalf of all of us as a team. We do this because we want to serve you. And we do this because we want to see you be all that God wants you to be. And I just want to encourage you as you go back. We're really aware that some of you are going back to tough situations. We're really aware that some of you are going back to homes where it's not great. To situations maybe at school that's not great. To some of you, if we're honest, where it's a struggle at church. And I just want to encourage you to persevere, to keep going, to not give up. Because the God that you've encountered here is the God who will be where you're going. He will be there, the same God, and it's him, and it's about him. And you can prove him faithful. You can prove him faithful in your home environment. And will you get it all right? Absolutely not. Who does? But every time you stumble, get up again. Trust his grace. One of the great themes that we didn't actually, I hadn't planned that it would be before the event, but that God seems to have thrown out is just, you know, he is so good and he is so full of grace. And he loves you, and he'll never stop. And you just need to know that. That's our security. Our security is not in how good we are. Our security is in how good he is. You know, our self-worth, as we said on, I think, day two, is it comes from being in relationship with him. It's not looking, doesn't come from looking at ourselves in the mirror. It comes at looking into his eyes, looking into our Father's eyes. And when we see the love in his eyes, and you know what? The reason he loves us is because we were created in his image. How could he not? And yes, we've been marred by sin. And yes, we're not perfect. And yes, there's things we need to let go of and things we need to turn from and repent of. But like any father, he doesn't stop loving. He can't. He wouldn't want to. And that's his heart. Whatever you hear, that's his heart. And that's why he asks us to live a certain kind of life. He asks us to live a certain kind of life because he knows that life is the best for us. He knows that life. You know what? Only he can see the future. Only he can see what we can become. And you know what? There are some prayers. I think God is a faithful God who answers prayer. Occasionally, for some of our prayers, the answer is no. And occasionally, for some of our prayers, the answer is, you must be joking. You know, and some of the prayers that I've prayed in the past, that when I look back, I think, thank goodness you said no to that one, Lord. Because I didn't know what I was asking. Because I was planning it my way, and you had a better plan. You had a better way. Your way was better. And you know what? God is faithful. He never breaks his promises. We can trust him and trust him. You know, embrace the mystery when you don't understand, but embrace him We don't have to understand everything. He's bigger than us, but we trust him. We trust him. And in that context, I just want to encourage you as you go back, two things, and then we're going to pray. And in a moment, we're actually going to ask, lots of folk have come to Jesus, but just in case there's one person left, in case there's one person that you've lasted till tonight and you haven't given your life to Jesus, when I finish, before we do anything else, I'm going to invite you to respond if you would like to, if you sense you're ready now. And, it'd be worth it for one. And even if no one comes, you know what? We want to do that because we always want to make space for those who want to come and meet him. But I just want to say two things. Please go back and love your church. Go back and love your church. And especially, if you struggle with your church, if your church doesn't worship like this, please don't go back and say, oh, grief, we hate this worship. We hate, this is nothing like we had at Soul Survivor. Because that's not going to do anything. The young people from my church come back from from Soul Survivor festivals and they say, oh, this is nothing like Soul Survivor. And our church is called Soul Survivor. Tim's the worship pastor. Tom. Where did Tim come from? Tom's the worship pastor of our church. Nothing's going to be like 5 days altogether like this. But you know what? Our churches change when we love them. And go and just serve. Go and give. And love your church. And pray for your church. And then also, just love across the church. You know, what's wonderful about here is no one knows who is Church of Scotland, who is Episcopalian, who is Baptist, who is Pentecostal, who is Vineyard, who is whatever, who is Catholic. No one knows. And you know what? When we get to heaven, there won't be an Anglican enclosure and a Baptist enclosure and a Methodist enclosure and a Pentecostal enclosure, which if there was, there'd be soundproofing around them. That's a joke. Or anything like that. We're going to be one. We're going to be one. And so let's be kingdom-minded. Let's be faithful to our church, to our network of churches. But let's love the whole church. Let's love the whole church of Jesus. We belong together. And I want to encourage you, make relationships now. Make friendships that will last you a lifetime. Make friendships that are not, in our society, which is so temporary, which is so, where you can delete friends at the press of a Facebook button. Make friendships that you'll never delete. Make friendships, even if you're not in the same place. You'll support each other, pray for each other, cheer each other on. Because Christianity is a team sport. It's not an individual sport. It's meant to be done together because God is the original community, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And then kind of the final thing is, guys, let's pray big prayers for revival. For revival in Scotland. For revival, why not? Some of you, I met a few of you. There's a bunch of you from the island of Lewis in the Outer Hebrides. There you are. I don't know if you know the story of your flipping island. You do. But just maybe for those that don't, I'm going to just say it briefly. I studied it. I listened to an old cassette tape until I wore it out of Duncan Campbell preaching. And in the Outer Hebrides of Scotland, was it 1950, 49 to 53, something like that. Everyone had turned from the Lord. It's the last revival that happened in any part of the United Kingdom, happened on their island. And there was a meeting in the town. There was a church service in the town of Barvas. Is it Barvas you pronounce it? And the town of Barvas. And at the end of the service, It was a few in there, and the few left. And there was this one young man who started crying out, and it wasn't done. And he was shouting, he was calling out, "Have mercy upon us, Lord. Have mercy upon us." And he just ended up on the floor. Something began that night. And there were literally people, non-Christians, who were waking up. And at 3 o'clock in the morning, they were at their gateposts. They were by their front door. They were only the front door, and they were crying out to God for mercy. And no one had done anything. They couldn't sleep. It was a sovereign move of God. And there were folk, Christians, who were going round telling people about Jesus. Well, you know what? Well, the human leader, the person that God used, was a guy called Duncan Campbell. And he started preaching the gospel every night. He went everywhere. And as he preached the gospel, he saw, and others saw, an island. And it moved to the other islands of the Outer Hebrides. Something changed. It changed in the heavenly places, and then it changed on earth. Do you know what the secret of that revival was? It wasn't Duncan Campbell. And I've heard the cassette tapes of his preaching. Magnificent. But it wasn't him. It wasn't that they had good structure. It wasn't that they had great worship. It wasn't that. Do you know the secret? It was two old ladies. Peggy Smith, 84 years old and blind. Her sister Christina, 82 years old, bent double with arthritis. The one couldn't see and the other couldn't walk. They couldn't do street evangelism or street mime or anything like that. And so they did the only thing they could do. For years, they knocked on the door of heaven and they prayed for God's Spirit to come on their island, for folk on their island to turn back to Him. And then suddenly, like on the day of Pentecost, God answered their prayer. And you know, people were coming to Jesus. And in the midst of that revival, Peggy Smith, the 84-year-old blind lady, she sent a message to Duncan Campbell to come and see her. And he went and he entered her house to see her. And she said, "Mr. Campbell, the Lord has told me in prayer to tell you that you are to go to such and such a village. You are to hire a hall. You are to preach the gospel. 11 young men will give their lives to Christ. And God is calling all 11 of them to a full-time evangelistic ministry." And Duncan Campbell listened to this 84-year-old blind lady. And he said, "Thank you, Miss Smith, but I can't do that, because it's just a small village, and I'm booked to speak at Stornoway? At Stornoway, and I'm booked for the next few nights. When I can, I will fit it in." Peggy Smith responded, "Mr. Campbell, I shall pray for you right now." And she prayed a prayer that went something like this: "Lord God, it would seem that Mr. Campbell does not want to obey you this day. Have mercy on his soul and cause him to repent and to do your will." Guess what? He went to that small village. He hired a hall. He preached the gospel. And then he said, "I'm going to close my eyes. And if anyone wants to give their life to Christ, would you go behind the curtain and I will join you in a few minutes?" He prayed. After a while, he opened his eyes. He went behind the curtain, and there, most of them were quietly weeping, were Peggy Smith's 11 young men. Oh, that God would do it today. Oh, that God would do it in our day. My prayer for years has been, before I go to heaven, Lord, would you grant me to see the first fruits of another revival in our land? And you know, it'll happen as we pray, and it'll happen as we obey. We pray and we obey. It's time to rise up. It's time to rise up and be the people God has called us to be. And it's praying, but obeying by going out. It's obeying by proclaiming the gospel. I was going to do a little study. I'm going to stop. I'm not going to, on John chapter 4, Jesus and the Samaritan woman at the well. And you know what? Jesus went to Samaria. He sat outside the town called Sychar by a well. This woman came to draw water, and he evangelized her. To cut a long story short, you can follow it in John chapter 4. He didn't start by asking her if she'd heard of the four spiritual laws, if she thought of her eternal destiny, or if she was washed in his blood. He started by saying, "Can I have a drink of water, please?" Do you know what he did? He started where she was and not where he was. She was at that well because she was interested in water, not anything else. And then they had a conversation. And after a while, it went from water to worship. How did it do that? Because the way he treated her, because the way he loved her, because the way he spoke to her, because the way he supernaturally revealed her sin and yet still affirmed her and gave her dignity, she then started asking about worship. She'd come to that well because she was interested in water. After a while with Jesus, she was interested in worship. And you know what? So often we preach the gospel to people who aren't interested. One of the surest ways to get them interested is to be the gospel. For Jesus to be in us. He was irresistible, and he can be irresistible if we allow him to shine his love through us. Be good news to others. Be the kindest person in your school, in your neighborhood. Be the most trustworthy. Be the one that after a while everyone knows, you know what, if I'm in trouble, you know, I can go and talk to them, and they won't tell everyone else, and they'll keep it to themselves, and I can trust them. Be the most generous. Be the most generous. And I don't just mean with money. Be generous with your time. Be generous with your encouragement. Be generous with your love. Be generous with your mercy. Live generously. Be good news. And you know, as we do that, the atmosphere changes as we pray and as we obey. And you know what I love about the story in John chapter 4? This woman, she went into Sychar, into the town, and she said, "Come and meet a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Messiah?" And it turns out she had three things that in that culture were wrong with her. One, she was a woman in a culture where every Jewish boy in those days at his bar mitzvah would pray this prayer. "Our Lord God, I thank thee that thou hast not made me a slave. Our Lord God, I thank thee that thou hast not made me a Gentile, i.e. a non-Jew. Our Lord God, I thank thee, oh how I thank thee, that thou hast not made me a woman." So that was, you know, a Jewish man would not begin a conversation with a strange woman in public. And Jesus broke that taboo because Jesus always affirmed women. Always, always. And then her second problem was she was a Samaritan. She was beyond the pale. She wasn't religious like the Jews. And then her third problem was she was addicted to men. When Jesus said to her, go back and bring your husband, she said, "I have no husband." And then he says, "You're right. You've had five husbands, and the man you're now living with is not your husband. You're quite right in what you say." And you know what? There was everything that seemed that could have been wrong with her was wrong with her in that culture. And Jesus broke all the taboos of the culture, all the taboos in order to meet her. And she ended up having the joy of being the first ever evangelist to Jesus in the history of Christianity. She went into town. Yeah. And they all came out. They all came out. They all came out because of her witness. And that town turned to Jesus. You know what? We do it in weakness. We do it in weakness. We're all weak. We're all broken. We're all messed up. But go for it. Let's do it. Let's give it our best shot. Let's do it together. Let's do it in word and deed. Let's be his people. Let's attempt things that could not possibly succeed unless he intervened. And as I said in a seminar this afternoon, you know what? If we're going to go down, guys, if we're going to go down, you know, the statistics for church attendance in Scotland have plummeted over the years. But you know what? If we're going to go down, let's go down in a great big blazing ball of fire, spectacularly trying to reach the lost, rather than whimpering away in a corner somewhere. Let's go down spectacularly. Let's give it our best shot. And you know what? We won't go down because Jesus is with us and he will go with us.